Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Dhena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namah.
Chapter 2, Remembrance of Lord Krishna. Narayanam Namaskritya Naram Chayava Narottamam Devim Sarasatim Vyasam Tato Jaya Udiraye. Remembrance of Lord Krishna. He was one who, even in his childhood, at the age of 5 years, was so absorbed in the service of Lord Krishna that when he was called by his mother for morning breakfast, he did not wish to have it. The Sangha welcomes and recognizes His Grace Mukharavinda Prabhu. Hari Bol! Panchagopribhishcha Kripasindhubhivacha Patitanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. Everyone can now breathe easy that the Mukharavinda has arrived. Hare Krishna. Welcome.
Hari Bol.
You all settled in okay?
Yep, I got settled.
Okay, great. Hare Krishna. Please make yourself comfortable.
Yeah.
From his very birth, Uddhava was a natural devotee of Lord Krishna, or a Nitya Siddha, a liberated soul. From natural instinct, he used to serve these are the signs of an eternally liberated soul. An eternally liberated soul is a devotee of the Lord who never forgets him. Human life is meant for reviving one's eternal relation with the Lord, and all religious injunctions are meant for awakening this dormant instinct of the living entity. The sooner this awakening is brought about, the quicker the mission of human life is fulfilled. In a good family of devotees, the child gets the opportunity to serve the Lord in many ways. A soul who is already advanced in devotional service has the opportunity to take birth in such an enlightened family. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 6:41. Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe Yoga Brashto Bijayate. Even the fallen devotee gets the opportunity to take his birth in the family of a well-situated brahmana or in a rich, well-to-do mercantile family. In both these families, there is a good opportunity to revive one's sense of God consciousness automatically, because particularly in these families, the worship of Lord Krishna is regularly performed, and the child gets the opportunity to imitate the process of worship called archana. The Panchatriki formula for training persons in devotional service is temple worship, whereby the neophytes get the opportunity to learn devotional service to the Lord. Maharaj Parikshit also used to play with Krishna dolls in his childhood. In India, the children in good families are still given dolls of the Lord, like Rama and Krishna, or sometimes the demigods, so that they may develop the aptitude of service to the Lord. By the grace of the Lord, we were given the same opportunity by our parents, and the beginning of our life was based on this principle. Text 3. Uddhava thus served the Lord continually from childhood, and in his old age that attitude service, there is no feeling of fatigue because it is spiritual service and is not on the bodily plane. Service on the bodily plane dwindles as the body grows older, but the spirit is never old, and therefore on the spiritual plane the service is never tiresome. Uddhava undoubtedly became old, but that does not mean that his spirit became old. His service attitude matured on the transcendental plane, and therefore as soon as he was questioned by Vidura about Lord Krishna, he at once remembered his Lord by reference to the context and forgot himself on the physical plane. That is the sign of pure devotional service to the Lord, as will be explained later on. Lakshanam Bhakti Yoga Sya, etc. In Lord Kapila's instructions to his mother Devahuti. 4. For a moment he remained dead silent, and his body did not move. He became absorbed in the nectar of remembering the Lord's lotus feet in devotional ecstasy, and he appeared to be going increasingly deeper in that ecstasy. Purport. On the inquiry by Vidura about Krishna, Uddhava appeared to be awakened from slumber. He appeared to regret that he had forgotten the lotus feet of the Lord. Thus he again remembered the lotus feet of the Lord and remembered all his transcendental loving service unto him. And by so doing, he felt the same ecstasy that he used to feel in the presence of the Lord. Because the Lord is absolute, there is no difference between his remembrance and his personal presence. Thus Uddhava remained completely silent for a moment, but then he appeared to be going deeper and deeper into ecstasy. Feelings of ecstasy are displayed by highly advanced devotees of the Lord. There are 8 kinds of transcendental changes in the body: tears, shivering of the body, perspiration, restlessness, throbbing, choking of the throat, etc. And all were manifested by Uddhava in the presence of Vidura. 325. It was so observed by Vidura that Uddhava had all the transcendental bodily changes due to total ecstasy, and he was trying to wipe away tears of separation from his eyes. Thus Vidura could understand that Uddhava had completely assimilated extensive love for the Lord. Purport. The symptoms of the highest order of devotional life were observed by Vidura, an experienced devotee of the Lord, and he confirmed Uddhava's perfectional stage of love of Godhead. Ecstatic bodily changes are manifested from the spiritual plane and are not artificial expressions developed by practice. There are 3 different stages of development in devotional service. The first stage is that of following the regulative principles prescribed in the codes of devotional service. The second stage is that of assimilation and realization of the steady condition of devotional service. And the last stage is that of ecstasy symptomized by transcendental body expression, bodily expression. I'm going to read that again. There are 3 different stages. Of the glories and pastimes of the Lord, the impurities in the student's heart begin to be washed off. The more one is cleansed of impurities, the more one becomes fixed in devotional service. Gradually, the activities take the forms of steadiness, firm faith, taste, realization, and assimilation, one after another. These different stages of gradual development increase love of God to the highest stage, and in the highest stage, there are still more symptoms, such as affection, anger, and attachment, gradually rising in exceptional cases to the Mahabhava stage, which is generally not possible for the living entities. All these were manifested by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the personification of love of God. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu by Srila Rupa Goswami, the chief disciple of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, these transcendental symptoms displayed by pure devotees like Uddhava are systematically described. We have written a summary study of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu entitled The Nectar of Devotion, and one may consult this book for more detailed information on the science of devotional service.
Text 6. The great devotee Uddhava soon came back from the abode of the Lord. Wiping his eyes, awakened his reminiscence of the past, and spoke to Vidura in a pleasing mood. Purport. When Uddhava was fully absorbed in the transcendental ecstasy of love of God, he actually forgot all about the external world. The pure devotee lives constantly in the abode of the Supreme Lord, even in the present body, which apparently belongs to this world. The pure devotee is not exactly on the bodily plane, since he is absorbed in the transcendental thought of the Supreme. When Uddhava wanted to speak to Vidura, he came down from the abode of the Lord, Dwarka, to the material plane of human beings. Even though a pure devotee is present on this mortal planet, he is here in relation to the Lord for engagement in transcendental loving service, and not for any other material cause. A living entity can live either on the material plane or in the transcendental abode of the Lord, in accordance with his existential condition.
The conditional changes of a living entity are explained in the Chaitanya Charitamrita in the instructions given by Srila Rupa Goswami by Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. The living entities all over the universes are enjoying the effects of the respective fruitive results of their own work, life after life. Out of all of them, some may be influenced by the association of pure devotees and thus get the chance to execute devotional service by attainment of taste. This taste is the seed of devotional service, and one who is fortunate enough to have received such a seed is advised to sow it in the core of his heart. As one cultivates a seed by pouring water to fructify it, the seed of devotional service sown in the heart of the devotee may be cultured by pouring water in the form of hearing and chanting of the holy name and pastimes of the Lord. The creeper of devotional service, so nourished, gradually grows, and the devotee, acting as a gardener, goes on pouring the water of constant hearing and chanting. The creeper of devotional service gradually grows so high that it passes through the entire material universe and enters into the spiritual sky, growing still higher and higher until it reaches the planet Goloka Vrindavan. The devotee gardener is in touch with the abode of the Lord even from the material plane by dint of performing devotional service to the Lord simply by hearing and chanting. As a creeper takes shelter of another, stronger tree, similarly the creeper of devotional service, nourished by the devotee, takes shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord and thus becomes fixed. When the creeper is fixed, then the fruit of the creeper comes into existence, and the gardener who nourished it is able to enjoy this fruit of love, and his life becomes successful. That Uddhava attained this stage is evident from his dealings. He could simultaneously reach the supreme planet and still appear in this world. Text 7. Uddhava, Sri Uddhava said, "My dear Vidura, the Son of the world, Lord Krishna, has set, and our house has now been swallowed by the great snake of time. What can I say to you about our welfare?" Purport. The disappearance of Krishna's son may be explained as follows, according to the commentary of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Vidura was struck with great sorrow when he got the hint of the annihilation of the great Yadu dynasty, as well as of his own family, the Kuru dynasty. Uddhava could understand the grief of Vidura, and therefore he first of all wanted to sympathize with him by saying that after the sunset, everyone is in darkness. Since the entire world was merged in the darkness of grief, neither Vidura nor Uddhava nor anyone else could be happy. Uddhava was as much aggrieved as Vidura, and there was nothing further to be said about their welfare. The comparison of Krishna to the sun is very appropriate. As soon as the sun sets, darkness automatically appears. But the darkness experienced by the common man does not affect the sun itself, either at the time of sunrise or of sunset. Lord Krishna's appearance and disappearance are exactly like that of the sun. He appears and disappears in innumerable universes, and as long as he is present in a particular universe, there is all transcendental light in that universe. But the universe from which he passes away is put into darkness. His pastimes, however, are everlasting. The Lord is always present in some universe, just as the sun is present in either the eastern or the western hemisphere. The sun is always present either in India or in America. But when the sun is present in India, the American land is in darkness. And when the sun is present in America, the Indian hemisphere is in darkness. As the sun appears in the morning and gradually rises to the meridian, and then again sets in one hemisphere, while simultaneously rising in the other, so Lord Krishna's disappearance in one universe and the beginning of his different pastimes in another take place simultaneously. As soon as one pastime is finished here, it is manifested in another universe. And thus his nityalila, or eternal pastimes, are going on without ending. As the sunrise takes place once in 24 hours, similarly the pastimes of Lord Krishna
take place in a universe once in a daytime of Brahma, the account of which is given in the Bhagavad Gita as 8,300,000,000 solar years. But wherever... Huh? 4,300,000,000 years.
Okay.
Did I say 8? I was talking 24 hours, sorry. As the sunrise takes place once in 24 hours, similarly the pastimes of Lord Krishna take place in the universe once in a day of Brahma, the account of which is given in the Bhagavad Gita as 4,300,000,000 solar years. Actually, that might have been taken. Anyway, it's 24 hours, it should be. But wherever the Lord is present, all his different pastimes, as described in the revealed scriptures, take place at regular intervals. As at sunset, the snakes become powerful, thieves are encouraged, ghosts become active, the lotus becomes disfigured, and the Chakravaki laments. So with the disappearance of Lord Sri Krishna, the atheists feel enlivened and the devotees become sorry. Text 8. This universe with all its planets is most unfortunate. And even more unfortunate are the members of the Yadu dynasty, because they could not identify Lord Hari as the personality of Godhead, any more than the fish could identify the moon. Purport. Uddhava lamented for the unfortunate persons of the world who could not recognize Lord Sri Krishna in spite of seeing all his transcendental godly qualities. From the very beginning of his appearance within the prison bars of King Kamsa up to his Maushalaliya Leela, although he exhibited his potencies as the personality of Godhead in the six opulences of wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, and renunciation, the foolish persons of the world could not understand that he was the Supreme Lord. Foolish persons might have thought him an extraordinary historic figure because they had no intimate touch with the Lord. But more unfortunate were the family members of the Lord, the members of the Yadu dynasty, who were always in company with the Lord but were unable to recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Uddhava lamented his own fortune also because although he knew Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not properly use the opportunity to render devotional service to the Lord. He regretted everyone's misfortune, including his own. The pure devotee of the Lord thinks himself most unfortunate. That is due to excessive love for the Lord and is one of the transcendental perceptions of viraha, the suffering of separation. It is learned from the revealed scriptures that the moon was born from the milk ocean. There is a milk ocean in the upper planets, and there Lord Vishnu, who controls the heart of every living being as Paramatma, the Supersoul, resides as the Chirajakashayi Vishnu. Those who do not believe in the existence of the ocean of milk because they have experience only of the salty water in the ocean should know that the world is also called the go, which means the cow. The urine of a cow is salty, and according to Ayurvedic medicine, the cow's urine is very effective in treating patients suffering from liver trouble. Such patients may not have any experience of the cow's milk because milk is never given to liver patients. But the liver patient may know that the cow has milk also, although he has never tasted it. Similarly, men who have experienced only of this tiny planet where the salt water ocean exists may take information from the revealed scriptures that there is also an ocean of milk, although we have never seen it. From this ocean of milk, the moon was born. But the fish in the milk ocean could not recognize that the moon was not another fish and was different from them. The fish took the moon to be one of them, or maybe something illuminating, but nothing more. The unfortunate persons who do not recognize Lord Krishna are like such fish. They take him to be one of them, although a little extraordinary in opulent strength and so on. The Bhagavad Gita 9.11 confirms such foolish persons to be most unfortunate. Avajanantima mudha manushim tonamashritam. Text 9.
The Yadus were all experienced devotees, learned and expert in psychic study. Over and above this, they were always with the Lord in all kinds of relaxations, and still, they were only able to know Him as the One Supreme who dwells everywhere. Purport. In the Vedas, it is said that the Supreme Lord of the Paramatma cannot be understood simply by the strength of one's erudition or power of mental speculation. Nayam Atma Pravachanena Labhyo Namedaya Na Bahuna Chutena Katu Upanishad 1.2.23. He can be known only by one who has the mercy of the Lord. The Yadavas were all exceptionally learned and experienced, but in spite of their knowing the Lord as the one who lives in everyone's heart, they could not understand that He is the original personality of Godhead. This lack of knowledge was not due to their insufficient erudition. It was due to their misfortune. In Vrindavan, however, the Lord was not even known as the Paramatma, because the residents of Vrindavan were pure, unconventional devotees of the Lord and could think of Him only as their object of love. They did not know that He is the personality of Godhead. The Yadus, or the residents of Dwarka, however, could know Lord Krishna as Vasudev, or the Supersoul living everywhere, but not as the Supreme Lord. As scholars of the Vedas, they verified the Vedic hymns, Eko Deva, Sarvabhutadvishasa, Antaryami, and Vishrinam Paradevata. The Yadus therefore accepted Lord Krishna as the Supersoul incarnated in their family, and not more than that. Text 10. Under no circumstances can the words of persons bewildered by the illusory energy of the Lord deviate the intelligence of those who are completely surrendered souls. Purport. Lord Sri Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead according to all the evidences of the Vedas. He is accepted by all acharyas, including Sripad Shankaracharya. But when He was present in the world, different classes of men accepted Him differently, and therefore their calculations of the Lord were also different. Generally, persons who had faith in the revealed scriptures accepted the Lord as He is, and all of them merged into great bereavement when the Lord disappeared from the world. In the first canto, we have already discussed the lamentation of Arjuna and Yudhishthira, to whom the disappearance of Lord Krishna was almost intolerable up to the end of their lives. The Yadavas were only partially cognizant of the Lord, but they are also glorious because they had the opportunity to associate with the Lord who acted as the head of their family, and they also rendered the Lord intimate service. The Yadavas and other devotees of the Lord are different from those who wrongly calculated Him to be an ordinary human personality. Such persons are certainly bewildered by the illusory energy. They are hellish and are envious of the Supreme Lord. The illusory energy acts very powerfully on them because in spite of their elevated mundane education, such persons are faithless and are infected by the mentality of atheism. They are always very eager to establish that Lord Krishna was an ordinary man who was killed by a hunter due to his many impious acts in plotting to kill the sons of Dhritarashtra and Jarasandha, the demoniac kings of the earth. Such persons have no faith in the statement of the Bhagavad Gita that the Lord is unaffected by the reactions of work. Na mam karmani limpanti. According to the atheistic point of view, Lord Krishna's family, the Yadu dynasty, was vanquished due to being cursed by the Brahmanas for the sins committed by Krishna in killing the sons of Dhritarashtra and so on. All these blasphemies do not touch the heart of the devotees of the Lord, because they know perfectly well what is what. Their intelligence regarding the Lord is never disturbed. But those who are disturbed by the statements of the Asuras are also condemned. That is what Uddhava meant in this verse.
Lord Sri Krishna, who is manifested, Lord Sri Krishna, who manifested His eternal form before the vision of all on the earth, performed His disappearance by removing His form from the sight of those who are unable to see him as he is due to not executing required penance. Purport. In this verse, the word avitripta drisham is most significant. The conditioned souls in the material world are all trying to satisfy their senses in various ways, but they have failed to do so because it is impossible to be satisfied by such efforts. The example of the fish on land is very appropriate. If one takes a fish from the water and puts it on the land, it cannot be made happy by any amount of offered pleasure. The spirit soul can be happy only in the association of the Supreme Living Being, the Personality of Godhead, and nowhere else. The Lord, by His unlimited causeless mercy, has innumerable Vaikuntha planets in the Brahmajyoti sphere of the spiritual world, and in that transcendental world there is an unlimited arrangement for the unlimited pleasure of the living entities. The Lord Himself comes to display His transcendental pastimes, typically represented at Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. He appears just to attract the conditioned souls back to Godhead, back home to the eternal world. But for want of sufficient piety, the onlookers are not attracted by such pastimes of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, it is said that only those who have completely surpassed the way of sinful reaction can engage themselves in the loving transcendental service of the Lord. The entire Vedic way of ritualistic performances is to put every conditioned soul on the path of piety. By strict adherence to the prescribed principles for all orders of social life, one can attain the qualities of truthfulness, control of the mind, control of the senses, forbearance, etc., and can be elevated to the plane of rendering pure devotional service to the Lord. By strict adherence to the prescribed principles for all orders of social life, one can attain the qualities of truthfulness, control of the mind, control of the senses, forbearance, etc., and can be elevated to the plane of rendering pure devotional service to the Lord. Only by such a transcendental vision are one's material hankerings fully satisfied. When the Lord was present, persons who were able to satisfy their material hankerings by seeing Him in true perspective were thus able to go back with Him to His kingdom. But those persons who are unable to see the Lord as He is remained attached to material hankerings and were not able to go back home, back to Godhead. When the Lord passed beyond the vision of all, He did so in His original eternal form, as stated in this verse. The Lord left in His own body. He did not leave His body as is generally misunderstood by the conditioned souls. This statement defeats the false propaganda of the faithless non-devotees that the Lord passed away like an ordinary conditioned soul. The Lord appeared in order to release the world from the undue burden of the non-believing asuras, and after doing this, He disappeared from the world's eyes. Just take a moment for any reflections. I like that analogy of the earth is also called Go. And just as when somebody's suffering from a liver disease, it can't take milk, but it can take another product from the cow urine, which helps to cure that disease of the liver. And so in a similar way.
And also one more point that was that he may know about milk or not. He may know about it, but he may not have experienced it.
He may know about it, but he may not have experienced it. And then it was that people have experience of the medicinal material world, but they're not sometimes aware at all of the other side of it, that there's actually a spiritual world.
Well, I was reflecting on how Prabhupada was linking viraha, feelings of viraha, separation, in terms of the degree of intimacy of the devotees and their lack of understanding that He was the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, the Vaikunthawalas, they understand Krishna as, you know, the expansion of the Supersoul or something of that order, on that order. And Dwarka also is mixed. So they understood that Krishna was, you know,
God, but not the Supreme God. And therefore their separation was not as intense as the Vrindavasis, who had loving relationships with him, but didn't understand at all that he was the Lord or any other feature of the Lord. So that exacerbates or increases the extremity of the feelings of separation.
No go?
I like that. You couldn't identify Lord Hari as a personality of God any more than the fish can identify the moon.
He's saying they couldn't identify Lord Hari, the Supreme Personality of God, any more than a fish could identify the moon. Yes?
So, I have a question. So, when they say in 329...
He has a question from 329.
So, the purpose says, the Yadavas were all exceptionally learned and experienced.
The Yadavas were all exceptionally learned and experienced.
But in spite of their knowing the Lord... As the one who lives in everyone's heart... They could not understand that he is the original Supreme Personality of God.
And
it was due to their misfortune. But I thought like the Yadavas were like so intimate, like associates.
He thought that the Yadavas were like so intimate associates of the Lord. How could they be unfortunate? I just heard a series that Gopi Pranadana Prabhu did about Uddhava, and he was talking about this section, and many of the statements relate to the feelings of the devotees in separation, and also many of Uddhava's statements also are a little distorted due to his bhava. So,
yeah, it's that it may seem unfortunate relative to the Vrindavasis, even though it's obviously fortunate relative to the conditioned souls. That's the context with which he uses the term, unfortunate.
Uddhava also says that he was unfortunate that he was...
Because Uddhava is also saying he's unfortunate. Because he was only able to do devotional service. That's the that's his bhav. Yeah, and that was mentioned there also. That devotees, one of the symptoms, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu catalogs this when he's teaching Sanatan Goswami about the 9 symptoms of bhava. One of them has to do with the devotee thinking himself less and less qualified, even though he's becoming more and more qualified. You had another point? Anyone else? Yes, Mukharavind.
When I went in the starting, he was mentioning when he just came back from his seventh thought from the spiritual world to back in the Parabhutu.
When Uddhava came back from his thoughts in the spiritual world back into the present time, so speaking to Vidura.
When Prabhupada in the Parabhutu was mentioning that how similarly, a practitioner, he can make this material plane, but if he's just hearing and...
Prabhupada mentions that a practitioner can be in the material plane, but if he's practicing... But he can be still in touch with the spiritual world, even when he's moving about here. Consistent with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings, he said that the creeper grows to the Goloka Vrindavan even when the gardener is still here in this world. Nice. What else?
I appreciated how Srila Prabhupada talked about 3 stages of development and devotional service. Because he describes them in different words in different places. It says the first stage is that of following regulative principles. Second stage is that of assimilation and realization.
In the steady condition of devotional service.
The last stage is that of ecstasy.
The last stage is that of that of ecstasy.
The second stage being assimilation and realization, I've never heard him speak like that.
He'd never heard of, him speak like that, mentioning assimilation and realization.
Of the steady condition
of devotional service. Anything else?
Somebody said online, the example of...
Someone online has said the example of the fish...
On land.
On land. Who was that?
Deepti Singh.
Oh, Deepti Singh, Hare Krishna. Yes, the fish on land. If you think about it, it's a pretty stark existence for a fish to be on land.
Can't take any pleasure, even if you give everything you can to give fish pleasure on land,
you can give him candy. Mm-hmm. He won't appreciate it. Yeah, just wants to go back in the water. Okay, the Lord appeared. This is text 3.2.12. The Lord appeared in the mortal world by His internal potency, Yogamaya. He came in His eternal form, which is just suitable for His pastimes. These pastimes were wonderful for everyone, even for those proud of their own opulence, including the Lord Himself, in His form as the Lord of Vaikuntha. Thus His, Sri Krishna's transcendental body, is the ornament of all ornaments. Bhushana Bhushananam Paramparam Bhushana Bhushanangam. Purport. In conformity with the Vedic hymns Nityo Nityanam Chaitanas Chaitananam Katha Upanishad, the personality of God, it is more excellent than all other living beings within all the universes in the material world. He is the chief of all living entities. No one can surpass Him or be equal with Him in wealth, strength, fame, beauty, knowledge, or renunciation. When Lord Krishna was within this universe, He seemed to be a human being because He appeared in a manner just suitable for His pastimes in the mortal world. He did not appear in human society in His Vaikuntha feature with four hands because that would not have been suitable for His pastimes. But in spite of His appearing as a human being, no one was or is equal to Him in any respect in any of the six different opulences. Everyone is more or less proud of His opulence in this world, but when Lord Krishna was in human society, He excelled all His contemporaries within the universe. When the Lord's pastimes are visible to the human eye, they are called prakat, and when they are not visible, they are called aprakata. In fact, the Lord's pastimes never stop, just as the sun never leaves the sky. The sun is always in its orbit in the sky, but it is sometimes visible and sometimes invisible to our limited vision. Similarly, the pastimes of the Lord are always current in one universe or another. And when Lord Krishna disappeared from the transcendental abode of Dwarka, it was simply a disappearance from the eyes of the people there. It should not be misunderstood that His transcendental body, which is just suitable for the pastimes in the mortal world, is in any way inferior to His different expansions in the Vaikuntha lokas. His body manifested in the material world in transcendental par excellence, in the sense that His pastimes in the mortal world excel His mercy displayed in the Vaikuntha lokas. In the Vaikuntha lokas, the Lord is merciful toward the liberated or nityamukta living entities. But in His pastimes in the mortal world, He is merciful even to the fallen souls who are nitya bada, or conditioned forever. The six excellent opulences which He displayed in the mortal world by the agency of His internal potency, Yogamaya, are rare even in the Vaikuntha lokas. All His pastimes were manifested not by the material energy, but by His spiritual energy. The excellence of His rasa lila at Vrindavan and His householder life with 16,000 wives is wonderful even for Narayan in Vaikuntha, and is certainly so for other living entities within this mortal world. His pastimes are wonderful even for other incarnations of the Lord, such as Sri Ravan, Narsingha, and Varaha. His opulence was so super excellent that his pastimes were adored even by the Lord of Vaikuntha, who is not different from Lord Krishna himself. Text 13. All the demigods from the upper, lower, and middle universal planetary systems assembled at the altar of the Rajasuya sacrifice performed by Maharaj Yudhishthira. After seeing the beautiful bodily features of Lord Krishna, they all contemplated that he was the ultimate dexterous creation of Brahma, the creator of human beings. Purport. Yadharma Sanyabhata, where is it?
Kaushalam.
Dexterity. There was nothing comparable to the bodily features of Lord Krishna when he was present in this world. The most beautiful object in the material world may be compared to the blue lotus flower or the full moon in the sky, but even the lotus flower and the moon were defeated by the beauty of the bodily features of Lord Krishna, and this was certified by the demigods, the most beautiful living creatures in the universe. The demigods thought that Lord Krishna, like themselves, was also created by Lord Brahma, but in fact, Brahma was created by Lord Krishna. It was not within the power of Brahma to create the transcendental beauty of the Supreme Lord. No one is the creator of Krishna, rather he is the creator of everyone. As he says in Bhagavad Gita 10.8, Aham sarvasya prabhu atak sarvam pravartate. Text number 14. The damsels of Raj, after pastimes of laughter, humor, and exchanges of glances, were anguished when Krishna left them. They used to follow him with their eyes, and thus they sat down with stunned intelligence and could not finish their household duties. Purport, in his boyhood at Vrindavan, Lord Krishna was notorious as a teasing friend and transcendental love to all the girls his age. His love for them was so intense that there is no comparison to that ecstasy, and the damsels of Raj were so much attached to him that their affection excelled that of the great demigods like Brahma and Shiva. Lord Krishna finally admitted his defeat before the transcendental affection of the gopis and declared that he was unable to repay them for their unalloyed affection. Although the gopis were seemingly anguished by the Lord's teasing behavior, when Krishna would leave them, they could not tolerate the separation and used to follow him with their eyes and minds. They were so stunned by the situation that they could not finish their household duties. No one could excel him, even in the dealing of love exchange between boys and girls. It is said in the revealed scriptures that Lord Krishna personally never goes beyond the boundary of Vrindavan. He remains there eternally because of the transcendental love of the inhabitants. Thus, even though he is not visible at present, he is not away from Vrindavan for a moment. Text 15. The personality of Godhead, the all-compassionate controller of both the spiritual and material creations, is unborn. But when there is friction between his peaceful devotees and persons who are in the material modes of nature, he takes birth just like fire, accompanied by the Mahatattva. Purport, the devotees of the Lord are by nature peaceful because they have no material hankering. A liberated soul has no hankering, and therefore he has no lamentation. One who wants to possess also laments when he loses his possession. Devotees have no hankerings for material possessions and no hankerings for spiritual salvation. They are situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord as a matter of duty, and they do not mind where they are or how they have to act. Karmis, gyanis, and yogis all hanker to possess some material or spiritual assets. Karmis want material possessions, gyanis and yogis want spiritual possessions, but devotees do not want any material or spiritual assets. They want only to serve the Lord anywhere in the material or spiritual worlds that the Lord desires, and the Lord is always specifically compassionate towards such devotees. The karmis, gyanis, and yogis have their particular mentalities in the modes of nature, and therefore they are called itara, or non-devotees. These itaras, including even the yogis, sometimes harass the devotees of the Lord. Durvasa Muni, a great yogi, harassed Maharaj Ambarish because the latter was a great devotee of the Lord. And the great Karmi and Gyani Hiranyakashipu even harassed his own Vaishnava son, Prahlad Maharaj. There are many instances of such harassment of the peaceful devotees of the Lord by the Itaras. When such friction takes place, the Lord, out of his great compassion toward his pure devotees, appears in person, accompanied by his plenary portions, controlling the Mahatattva. The Lord is everywhere in both the material and spiritual domains, and he appears for the sake of his devotees when there is friction between his devotee and the non-devotee. As electricity is generated by friction of matter anywhere and everywhere, the Lord, being all-pervading, appears because of the friction of devotees and non-devotees. When Lord Krishna appears on a mission, all his plenary portions accompany him. When he appears as the son of Vasudev, there were differences of opinion about his incarnation. Some said, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Some said, he is an incarnation of Narayan. And others said, he is the incarnation of Shirdakshai Vishnu. But actually, he is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishnastu Bhagavan Swayam. And Narayan, the Purushas, and all other incarnations accompany him to function as different parts of his pastimes. Mahad Amsha Yukta indicates that he is accompanied by the Purushas who create the Mahatattva. It is confirmed in the Vedic hymns, Mahantam Vibhum Atmanam. Lord Krishna appeared just like electricity when there was friction between Kamsa and Vasudeva and Ugrasena. Vasudeva and Ugrasena were the Lord's devotees, and Kamsa, a representative of the Karmis and Gyanis, was a non-devotee. Krishna, as he is compared to the sun. He first appeared from the ocean of the womb of Devaki, and gradually he satisfied the inhabitants of the places surrounding Mathura, just as the sun enlivens the lotus flower in the morning. After gradually rising to the meridian of Dwarka, the Lord set like the sun, placing everything in darkness as described by Uddhava. Oh, there was a point I wanted to make. Sorry. Oh, just Gopi was commenting on this, and he was saying that it is Gopi Puranadana Prabhu. Just about when the devotees' spiritual lives progress, and there's a a natural way in which they are awakened to their original relationship with Krishna. He was saying that actually the devotees, the actual process of the devotees are eager to serve Krishna in whatever way he wants to be served. It's not that they have some self-interest in, now I want to have this relationship, but they have the relationship because Krishna wants the relationship. And they also do it because it's the best service. He pointed out also that devotees like Uddhava, for instance, Uddhava is especially associated with Krishna in Dwarka. But actually, he remains in Vrindavan, absorbed in thinking of the gopis and how exalted they are simultaneously. And so it's not that one relationship with Krishna is uniquely distinct from all the other relationships. They can be intertwined by the appreciation. As Queen Kunti says, Shrinvanti Gayanti Grinanti, the extreme appreciation that devotees have for others' service is a tantamount to them being in that relationship. They're tasting it as well. And so this bent that people sometimes get on, that let's now move into our rasa period, right? Now we have to immediately attain Raghunuga Bhakti, and I want it now. Or Gopi was especially railing against those who would abandon their service, for instance, to the Sankirtan movement and run off, as he would say again and again, to Radhakund, to find somebody who would give them a shortcut. and he said that this is not a service attitude, it's a selfish mood. And from that position, one never comes to relish pure devotional service, because it's not about me getting what I want in my rasa, but it's about me wanting to serve Krishna in the best possible way, and that is the way in which Krishna wants to be served.
The end of the first part,
this point that you're bringing up was illustrated in a very poignant and wonderful way. It was after Narada had gone through all these different places to try to find the devotees who had received the most mercy from Krishna, the best devotees, kind of. And he went on and he found all these different... He eventually went to Dwarka. And Ugrasena, he approached Ugrasena. And Ugrasena says, you know, you're looking at the wrong person. You know, I can't... How can I be most dear to Krishna? Where is he? I mean, maybe I'm a family member, but where is he now? You see him right here? You go to Uddhava's, because he's always with Uddhava. So we went there. And anyway, I don't want to waste time, but I want to spend too much time with this. But at the end, it came out that... Well, there was a debate that happened. You know, and Krishna was in bed, right? He was unusually in bed. After time, he usually got up, and he was had the covers over his head, and he was like acting like a forlorn person, and even making sounds that they could hear from the veranda. They were out in the veranda, wondering what was going on. You know, so then they started a conversation, and because Narada showed up, he precipitated that conversation, right? And then they took sides, and some of the Rokavasis took the side of Krishna, and some of them took the side of the Vrajavasis. You know, and the queens were saying, "Listen, you know, at night he wakes up and he's talking about Radharani and the gopis. So what can I say about it? You know, our position in relationship to them, you know?" And then it went through a whole pastime, and then at the end, you know, Krishna had Narada in for prasad. Before that, he got all of, especially Satyabhama, because Satyabhama was really feisty, and she didn't want to, you know some of the things that were being said. So Krishna asked, "Where's Satyabhama?" And he, "Oh, she's, bring her here." So then he talks to Satyabhama and the other queens that were there, how he married them because he was lonely for the gopis. And then Prabhupada said in the, I'm not sure if it was Sanatana Goswami said in the purport, something to the effect that this is not ordinary female behavior. And then what happened then, which was the actual illustration of Maharaj's point, is that the queens who had just been told that we were being married just because, you know, we're like reminded you of somebody else, they started to glorify the gopis. They were glorifying the gopis. They were saying, you know, we've got this big position and we're with Krishna all the time, but we've got so many duties we have to do. We get distracted by the kids and, you know, all the people that come to meet him, and we have to take care of everything, run the palace and all the servants, and you know, how can we give all of our attention to Krishna? It's not possible. But the gopis, they gave up everything just for Krishna. The most intimate and gives the most pleasure to Krishna. To your point, that it's not just because you think, you know, Krishna will be pleased by this the most. It's actually what's going to please Krishna the most. And when he's in Dwarka, it's the queens please him the most, but he still dreams about the gopis.
So then, so like in this example, even though they know that there's devotee who pleases Krishna more,
you have to repeat what he's saying.
even though this is Dharmesharanya speaking to us, giving us
benefit of his purity. Go ahead.
Just a question. So even though, you know, the queens knew that there was somebody,
even though the queens knew that there was someone dear to Krishna,
they did not hanker to become more dear.
They did not hanker to become more dear.
Like, is that the right move, that you should not hanker to become more dear to Krishna, mm-hmm. and you should just be satisfied with everyone?
It's rasa. It's the, you know, he's saying, is it right that you, it's not right to, no, is it not, is it right to say that they don't hanker to have a higher relationship with Krishna, which would hint at pleasing him more?
Yes.
Well, it's simply explained that everyone feels that their position, whatever relationship they're in, is the best. And at the same time, they're able to appreciate the other devotees. That comes out in the Brihat Bhagavatamrita when Narada visits each devotee and they defer to the next devotee. But it's not, Goswami points out that each one of the devotees thinks this is the best, their particular situation. So it's all the best. And there's also one, just like in an orchestra, everyone is harmonizing in order to come out with something that's beautiful for the pleasure of the audience. And so in the assembly of devotees, everyone has their own part, and they're all meaningful. Just like in an orchestra, sometimes in percussion, someone just plays the triangle for one part, and there's a little trill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, one moment, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you might say, like, that's nothing. But actually, it's part of the crescendo. It adds to the overall piece as a whole. And so all the devotees feel one in the sense that they're all serving Krishna together and supporting one another and appreciating. But even the gopis feel that the others are superior. Because when Narada comes to the gopis, they also don't consider themselves elite, but they consider that all the other devotees are...
Everyone, all other devotees. They even think all living beings, because there's a whole section at the end where they're praying, you know, that the clouds are... We wish we could be as good as devotees as the clouds because, or the deer because, or the plants, or the creepers, or whatever. But I was going to make one more point about this section of Brihat Bhagavatamrita, and that is when it came right to Krishna. You know, Krishna said to Narada, don't you understand that every single person you met along the way was my greatest devotee, and each one of them can deliver a universe? And then Narada understood. Simultaneous one of difference.
Nagar Kirtan.
So we had discussed some months ago.
Nagar Kirtan. We had discussed some months ago
that about groups outside of ISKCON.
About groups outside of ISKCON.
That naturally it will feel that each group will feel that we're the themselves is the best.
That naturally they feel, each group will feel that he's the best. It's the best.
It's like a natural tendency, but at the same time... Yeah, and I was just wondering if this attitude is the same as this attitude.
He was wondering if that attitude is the same as the attitude we've been discussing.
Yeah, that we should consider ourselves as having the best and most complete understanding out of all other groups.
We consider ourselves as having the best and complete understanding of all other groups.
But that's just like appreciating that. That's just like the rasa or something like that?
Is that something like the rasa or something like that? Well, there's a difference. There's a difference. And that is that the devotee who's in an apparently lower rasa, when appreciating the higher rasa, they don't
criticize. They're not critical. But so many, I don't know, I won't say this about everybody, but so many are critical. I mean, I've been living out here since 1994, and I've heard everything and seen everything, you know. ISKCON devotees going to Radha Kund, and they're actually taught that this is higher now, and you were with on something lower. So this higher and lower, it comes to the point of looking down on the persons that are lower. And there's enmity. But there's no enmity in the spiritual world, even though there's varieties of relationships, and some are more, not higher or lower. Prabhupada made a really big point about this. They're not higher or lower. They may be to a different degree of intimacy with Krishna. I love the service that they render. But there's no enmity. Because all they want is Krishna's pleasure. It's just right to Vaishishika Prabhu's point. That's, it's not selfish.
So is it also true then that no group is higher or lower than another group?
On the spiritual plane, yeah. Krishna loves his cows as much as he loves the gopis.
I'm referring to like, you know, different group of Vaishnavas.
I mean, there are ways of analyzing. Lord Chaitanya analyzed, for instance, the Tattvavadis and came to the conclusion that they weren't exactly following Madhvacharya properly, and therefore some of the things that they said weren't true. And he would correct that, but he was correcting the lack of truth, not personally you're this because you're with this and we're this because we're with that. It's not the same.
He also, when he met Vyankatabhata, it's not that, it's this. When he met Vyankatabhata, part of the Sri Sampradaya, when he was in South India, in Sri Rangam, although it was done in a very good-humored way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pointed out that the goddess of fortune tried to get into the rasa dance and wasn't able to. And he quoted Nayam Sukapa Bhagavan Dehinam Gopikasita, this famous verse that he quoted several times, which indicates that there's no higher method of devotional service than that of the pure devotees who are spontaneous. And so you could say he was appreciating, and they sat together and appreciated Krishna, worshipped Krishna, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did point out that the process of that he was teaching was better. I mean, that's what preaching is. And why would, you know, somebody be in one group and not another? Basically because you see it has better qualities, unless it has better prasadam or something. But, you know, that's why we do things. So I think that, you know, when devotees came to India for the first time and they encountered many different spiritual teachers, mostly they met people who had spiritual teachers or were confused about the variety of spiritual teachers, and they would approach the devotees and say, what do you think of Swami such and such, or this group or that group? Prabhupada instructed them that don't say anything about Swami such and such or this or that group. Just ask them, what is his philosophy? And when presented with the philosophy, then make comparisons on that level and not on not ad hominem level or thinking in general categories, but be very specific about what are you talking about. Define it for me. And, you know, let's talk about it.
Sometimes when I get that, point out.
Which question?
The point is, well, if the gopis are the highest, for instance, just as an example, then shouldn't we all hanker to be gopis, and shouldn't everyone ultimately come to that stage if this is an evolution of consciousness? That's the kind of doubt or the question. So then I ask them a rhetorical question. So what would it be like if in the spiritual world Goloka it was just Krishna and gopis? There were no cows, there were no mother and father, there was no Tovran Hill, there was no... Right. Do you think Krishna would be pleased with that? Do you think that... So, I mean, it's kind of a common sense, you know, logic.
But it's true. So all of those personalities serve us to assist Radha and Krishna in their pastimes is giving them more pleasure than Radha and Krishna get when they're together. That's the key to understanding this secret of devotional service. That if you serve farther away and you're thinking I'm superior because I'm getting closer, but actually what's happening in the spiritual world is that if you get further away, you're tasting something more intense.
I like what Mara said about not
having enmity. There's ways of appreciating your own group, because it's natural for living entities to group together. They just do it naturally. You look outside, you just see all the animals, they group together, the humans group together and culturally and ideologically. And in the spiritual world, Prabhupada has told us that there are groups or gunas with like-minded devotees. And so it's not unnatural, and it's not also bad to be sectarian, because we're individuals. If we were all one homogeneously, then there would be an evil to the idea of sectarianism. But because we're individuals, and we can find other individuals that have like-mindedness, there's a way in which we can actually form groups. But when those groups are formed, there's also, when there's no enmity, there's also an appreciation of the variety of the other groups as well. And of course, everyone is free to, just as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited in his own teachings, compare the quality of various groups according to how they're following Shastra to a certain degree, and there are various standards that one must live up to in order to be considered higher or lower.
Krishna Maharaj was doing the Parikrama. He does a lot of those. And they came to the Raghunath Das Goswami's... did I interrupt?
No.
Hope not. They came to Raghunath Das Goswami's Samadhi, right? And a couple of Babaji's kind of jumped on him, you know, because he was preaching to the, you know, telling the story of it. And they kind of said, you know, you don't have diksha, line, and Bhaktisiddhanta gave, you know, took initiation from the picture of his guru, therefore no diksha is there, and all this. And then, see, it was very intelligent, Maharaj. He said, well, you believe in Lord Chaitanya, right? And they said, oh yes, we're all coming from Lord Chaitanya. He said, then when Lord Chaitanya says that the Krishna conscious movement should be spread all over the world, how do you reconcile this? I mean, where's the light, you know, coming from what you're saying in your lifestyle? Where's the light that's spreading Lord Chaitanya's movement and love of God all around the world? Where's that? And they couldn't say anything. By that time in India, you know what happens when that happens? There's a whole crowd, you know, and they're all listening, you know. And when he made that point, they all went, yay, and I don't remember what exactly he said they did, but they all took his side, and the others kind of got diminished. They got diminished. You have to be a little strong to do that. You have to be a little strong. I realized who he was when I heard that story.
Started, but he did
yeah, he finished it. Yeah.
So now we're on text number 3216 in Marsh's reading. But we're going to take a
Calvary.
Natari Armarman. Hey! Natari Armarman. Natari Armarman. Natari Armarman. Natari Armarman.